Hello and welcome to Bixis Alive, the radio program in cyberspace dedicated to the preservation and dissemination of the musical legacy of Bix Beiderbecke, the jazz genius from Davenport, Iowa. I am Albert Haim and this is WBIX, the virtual radio station on demand of the Bixography website. In the Bixis Alive program, I will play recordings and talk about the music and the life of Bix Beiderbecke. I will also play recordings by other musicians, past and present, who play in a style influenced and or reminiscent of Bix's unique approach to music. In the programs, I will feature several segments. In some instances, I will have a battle of the bands. On other occasions, I will focus on one particular musician or a theme as the centerpiece of the program. At other times, I will simply play recordings that I enjoy. The centerpiece of today's program will be a battle of the bands between Louis Armstrong and Red Nichols. As usual, I will have a couple of recordings by Bix, and for the contemporary musicians, I will turn to Paul and his gang, a group of talented young musicians from Sweden. Let's start with the battle of the bands between Louis and Red. Louis Satchmo Armstrong is viewed by all jazz historians as the most important jazz figure in the 20th century. Louis started his career in New Orleans. In 1922, he received a telegram from Joe King Oliver to join his Creole jazz band in Chicago. Louis went to Chicago, and the rest, as they say, is history. In 1924, after touring with King Oliver, Louis appeared briefly at Dreamland, playing first trumpet with Ollie Powers. At that point, he got an invitation to join the Fletcher Henderson Orchestra. Towards the end of 1925, Louis returned to Chicago and immediately started recording a series of legendary sides. The musical output with his Hot 7 and his Hot 5 was among Louis' most creative period. Throughout the 1920s, Louis' recordings reveal a jazz musician of great imagination and skill. During this period, Louis recorded some of the most important jazz recordings of all times. In my opinion, by the 1930s, with a few exceptions, Louis' creativity was no longer in place. He started repeating himself, and he replaced invention by a display of histrionics and technical virtuosity. But that, of course, does not detract from his enormous importance and beautiful output in the 1920s. And let's get started with the music. I'll tell something about Red Nichols after the first round of the Battle of the Bands. To have a fair battle, I will play one recording from Louis and then one from Red, both of these recordings being from approximately the same time. Let's start first with Louis and Red as sidemen. I will play Drop That Sack, recorded in Chicago on May 28, 1926, by Little's Hot Shots. The Hot Shots are Louis, Kid Ory on trombone, Johnny Dodds on clarinet, Little Armstrong on piano, and Johnny Sancier on banjo. I'll follow that with a recording which features Red. It's Taint Cold, recorded in New York by the original Memphis Five, which consists of Red on cornet, Miff Mole on trombone, Alfie Evans on clarinet, Frank Signorelli on piano, and Ray Bodouk on drums. So here is round one of the Battle of the Bands between Louis and Red. Louis plays Drop That Sack, Red plays Taint Cold. Thank you. were pretty good recordings, weren't they? Well, let's say a few things about the Red Nichols. Red Nichols studied cornet with his father, who was a college music teacher. In 1923, Red moved to New York, and during the 1920s, he was sought after as a sideman and made a number of recordings as a leader. Red must have recorded thousands of records in the 1920s. Red was praised as well as vilified by both jazz critics and fellow musicians. To get a fair view of Red Nichols, I recommend an excellent discography by Stephen Stroff, published in 1996 by Scarecrow Press and the Institute of Jazz Studies of Rutgers University. The title of the book is Red Head, A Chronological Survey of Red Nichols and His Five Pennies. The book emphasizes the jazz-oriented records that Red made in the 1920s. Stroff tells about the contradictory opinions about Red Nichols' musical output. He himself changed his mind. Early on, he dismissed Red Nichols as hopelessly corny and turned to Louis and Bix. But later on, Stroff changed his mind, and I read from his book. Nichols realized, probably early on, that he could never really compete with Beiderbecke in terms of swinging ability. So he did the next best thing. He created a sound world based on Beiderbecke's musical principles that was entirely his own. I totally agree. Red Nichols' recordings, with a number of other very talented musicians in the 1920s, must rank among the most important jazz records of the 1920s. Let's continue now with the round two of the Battle of the Bands. For this round, I chose two recordings with the word breakdown in them. From Louis Armstrong and his Stompers, we will hear Chicago Breakdown, recorded for Columbia on May 9, 1927. The Stompers were Louis and Bill Wilson on cornet, Honoré Dufresne on trombone, Boyd Atkins, Joe Walker and Albert Washington on reeds, Earl Hines on piano, Rip Passet on guitar, Peter Briggs on tuba, and Toby Hall on drums. Red Nichols' contribution to round two will be Birmingham Breakdown, recorded September 14, 1927, by his Arkansas Travelers, which consists of Red Nichols on cornet, Miff Maul on trombone, Fud Livingston on clarinet, Fred Murrow on alto sax, Rube Bloom on piano, and Vic Burton on drums. So here is round two of the Battle of the Bands with Chicago Breakdown from Louis and Birmingham Breakdown from Red. Thank you. Let's leave the Battle of the Bands for a minute and turn to Bix for a couple of recordings from the Whiteman days. Tain't So, Honey Tain't So, recorded on June 10, 1928, is the first one that I want to play. Dick Sodhalter discusses this recording in the Time Life Giants of Jazz set, and I read from the liners. The Whiteman Orchestra seemed jinxed in its efforts to record this chalice arrangement of a song by Willard Robinson. Bing had to start called on a concert A, chalice recalled, no intro, nothing. He kept losing the note, making false starts. Finally, somebody turned up a dime store pitch pipe and gave him his note just before we started. That fixed him up. But it hardly did away with the trouble. The band began recording Tain't So on May 21, 1928. After ruining four takes, they gave up for the day. 2 days later, they spoiled three more. Finally, after a three-week cooling-off period, they had a good one on the ninth try. Everything kept going wrong, trombonist Jack Fulton said, including some fluffed entrances by Bix. In this recording, there are two solo spots for Bix. The second recording that I will play is That's My Weakness Now, recorded 1 week later on June 17, 1928. Here the vocal is by the Rhythm Boys, Bing Crosby, Harry Barris, and Al Rinker, and the arrangement is by the very talented Tom Satterfield. So here we have Paul Whiteman in June 1928 with Bix at the peak of his career.
Hey people, you should come to Arkansas. Meet a friend of mine, old Aunt Phoebe Law. She's known to everyone for miles around. She will help you when friends forsake you and troubles bear you down. For those who come her way are blessed when they hear her say, "Tain't so, honey, tain't so." Spoke to the Lord and the Lord said, "No, tain't so, honey, tain't so." Tain't so, honey, tain't so. Tomorrow will bring something good, I know, tain't so. I mean, it just ain't so. Makes no difference what your problem may be. Just look up, brother, And I'm sure you will see. Tain't so, honey, tain't so. The devil said yes, but the Lord said no. Tain't so, honey, tain't so.
Thank you.
Wasn't that lovely? And how did you like the section in the middle of the recording of That's My Weakness Now, when the rhythm boys, Frankie Trombauer and Bix, take turns in jazzing it up? Let's return to the Battle of the Bands for the third and last round. For Red, I chose his own composition, That's No Bargain, recorded on January 24, 1927, with the great Miff Mole on trombone, Jimmy Dorsey on clarinet, Fred Murrow on alto sax, Arthur Schott on piano, and Vic Burton on drums. For Louis, I chose one of the two most important jazz records of all times, West End Blues, recorded by Louis Armstrong and his Hot Five on June 28, 1928, with Lou on trumpet and vocal, Fred Robinson on trombone, Jimmy Strong on clarinet, Earl Hines on piano, Nancy Carr on banjo, and Zooties Singleton on drums. So here is the last round of the Battle of the Bands between Red with his own composition That's No Bargain and Lou with the seminal recording of West End Blues. Thank you.
da 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 da.
I can never get tired of listening to West End Blues. For the contemporary musicians, I chose Paul and His Gang, a group of young talented musicians from Sweden. I saw Paul and His Gang last week in Kenosha, Wisconsin, where they appeared in Phil Pospicala's tribute to Bix. That was on occasion of Bix's 97th birthday, March 10. Paul and His Gang have two CDs out, and I chose two sides from their 1997 Stomp Off CD number 1329 entitled Take Your Tomorrow. First I will play Big Boy, and this will be followed immediately by Sorry, where Kiki and Paul do a couple of chase choruses.
Thank you.
Guys do a good job of emulating the sound of the 1920s, and the chase chorus of the two cornets was a nice touch, wasn't it? Well, let's get back to Bix now. Come to the end of today's edition of Bix is Alive, the radio program in cyberspace dedicated to the preservation and dissemination of the musical legacy of Bix Beiderbecke, the jazz genius from Davenport, Iowa. Please join me again in 2 weeks on WBIX, the virtual radio station on demand of the Bixography website, for another edition of the program. Until next time, this is Albert Haim, saying, through his music, Vix is alive.